Well, good morning, church. It is it is so incredible to have the opportunity to come and speak God's word with you. And it becomes even more difficult for myself and for Brini as our time here comes closer to sort of a conclusion. And as I was wrestling with that, is just thinking about, okay, well, how do we bless the church? You know, how do we bless Christ's church? And so, hopefully by the grace of God, this would bring glory to Him, and it would build up the church. And so I decided that we're going to do like a two-part series. So this Sunday and next Sunday, next Sunday being our last Sunday, with Burnaby. So the first, you know, the two-part series, the first one we want to call it, Christ and the Church. So the first part is Christ and the Church. And then the second part, which will be next Sunday, I want to call it the Gospel in the Church. Right? So if part one is Christ and the Church, and part two is the Gospel in the Church. And I was like, well, isn't it the same thing? And I was like, it kind of is. It kind of is the same thing. But if, you know, I think there's some distinction at the same time for us to sort of work through and wrestle with as well. And so, you know, just reflecting on things, you know, one thing that kind of, you know, I can sort of clearly and confidently say is that, you know, God's been very generous with our church, or actually with His church, Burnaby Pacific Grace. You know, God's been very, very generous. And why do I say that? God's generous in the sense that God has so graciously blessed His people. The church that is the people of God. God so graciously bless His church with so many gifts. Like so many gifts. And when we think of gifts, you know, it's not your typical gifts, so to speak, like, you know, oh, I got a fat paycheck, you know, it came out of nowhere. I mean, yes, that is a gift from God. That's great. You know, oh, I got a job. Yes, praise God. That is a gift from God as well. And so yes, God does gift and bless His people that way. But in the sense that the Apostle Paul speaks of in Romans chapter 12, the kind of gifts are not necessarily the gifts that we typically associate with, but it's gifts that are meant to be shared. When God gives gifts generously and graciously to the church, His church, these gifts are meant to be shared. And we see that in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 13 that Stephanie read. I'm just going to list some of them out. And a few of these gifts that come from God in the church, we see is number one, you know, prophecy. You know, if it's prophecy, use it in proportion to our faith. And when we think of prophecy, you know, we think of like the Pentecostals and how like, oh, you're going to marry this person that's going to walk through this door at this time, on this date, at this location. You know, you associate prophecy with that. And sure, God can speak through that. Absolutely. But typically, when we understand prophecy, especially in the Old Testament, the prophecy is meant that, you know, that God would use someone, a prophet, to speak His word to His people for encouragement and for repentance and faith. And you see that all throughout the Old Testament. That when God spoke prophecy, it was always through a prophet to His people for the purpose of encouragement, repentance, and faith. And so in this case, in the function of the church, one of the gifts that God gives is prophecy. God speaking through people for the purpose of encouragement, repentance, and faith. And we do that all the time. We have prophets, in a sense, in our church where people speak into people's lives. Encouraging them in their faith, encouraging them to repentance, encouraging them to obedience and following the Lord Jesus Christ. It happens all the time. Is it a prophecy? Not in maybe in the way you understand it, but certainly in the way the Bible speaks of the use and the function of prophecy. So one of the gifts, prophecy. The other gift, service, right, that God so graciously give. Another gift is teaching. Another gift is exhortation. Right, the ministry of encouragement. Another gift, and this is, I just realized so much more and more, and it's a testament of God's goodness, is, you know, in generosity, contributes in generosity. You know, I've been with Helena. She's been serving here. I actually didn't really tell her that I was going to mention this. But Helena is wanting to be a missionary. And she wants to go full-time to Taiwan. And when she told me, and I'll be honest, when she told me how much money she had to raise and the means by which she would raise this without asking people for money, I was like, okay. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, well, I don't think you're going to get this. Because it was a pretty big amount. And I was like, you're not going to, I don't know if you're going to get this. You better have backup plan B, C, D, E, and F. And but I didn't tell Helena this because, you know, I'm a man of faith, right? I'm supposed to be like, it's all right. God's going to provide. Truthfully, I totally believe that God was going to provide. But at the same time, you know, humanly speaking, I'm like, oh, you might want to get a part-time job, you know, to subsidize this amount that you need to raise. Anyways. You know, Helena shared recently that, you know, she's 90-some percent, you know, raised. That is incredible. That is incredible that God would so graciously move in the hearts of his people to bless. Because God blesses us to share with others. And that God would drive people to bless Helena and the ministry of missions in Taiwan. And it's incredible, right? God is so generous. Another thing that God blesses gifts is one who leads with zeal, right? That when God puts people in, and God blesses the church with people with zeal, with excitement, with conviction, with purpose in the way they lead God's church. And lastly, you know, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness, right? With love and excitement. And I know that, you know, God... the 6 years I've sort of been here just sort of reflecting and observing, seeing that God is very generous in this, his church, in the lives of the people that make up his church. That God is very generous and that he gives gifts to his church to serve and to build up the people, to build up people. Whether people that are Christians or people that are not Christians, they walk into these doors or into this community and this fellowship, whatever fellowship, that God would gift his people to serve other people. That is such a beautiful thing, as the Apostle Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12. And I've seen it. I've seen people share their gifts in children's ministry, in worship team, in Sunday schools, in event plannings, in fellowship groups, in evangelistic outreaches, in missions, in the AV, and being deacons, and being department heads, and being friends. And being friends to one another. You know, people that maybe you don't normally typically hang out with. And what's beautiful is that the Apostle Paul says, you know, we're all different. You know, that the makeup of the body is different. It's one body, but the makeup of it is different. And with the diversity that exists within it, there's a difference in gifts as well. Not everyone is a teacher. Not everyone is able to serve. Not everyone is able to lead. Not everyone is able to give in generosity. And that's the truth. Not everyone is able to give in generosity. But in diversity, there is something very beautiful that's going on. That in diversity, there's still unity. And in diversity, God gives different gifts as well to serve different functions, but ultimately for the same goal. You know, and that's something we need to embrace and something we always need to consider and say, we want that. We love that. We desire for it. Because as our community grows, so does our gifts that God gives. So does the diversity of the gifts. But ultimately, what makes it so beautiful is as big or as small, as diverse, as different, as many gifts there are, ultimately at the end, they serve the same purpose and that we're all united to serve the ministry of the gospel. And that's a beautiful thing. You know, that's why the Apostle Paul says in verses 4-5, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individual members one of another." You know, we've done Belkin House a few years, for several years now, and we do it periodically. And if you've ever served in this ministry called Belkin House that our church does, it's essentially where we go to Salvation Army, where they have a residence building, and then in that residence building, we prepare a meal. And in the meal, we feed about, you know, however many residents will show up that day. So sometimes it's 90, sometimes it's 120, depending on how good the meal is, right? It's always depending on how good the meal is. I think one time we said we're going to do fried chicken, and it was like crazy. It was crazy. Anyways, so depending on the meal. But nonetheless, so we do this, these ministries called Belkin House. And so we extend the invitation to the congregation. Anybody want to volunteer and serve at Belkin House? You know, sign up. It was with Joanna or with me. Sign up and be a part of this. And sometimes, you know, we'll get 7 people. Sometimes we'll get 15 people. Sometimes we'll get even more than that. And what's crazy is when you look at these people that sign up, it's so different. I mean, yes, we all look Chinese. And the assumption is maybe we can all cook. But the truth is, it's very different in the sense that the makeup of skills is so diverse. It's so, you got some people that can cook, you know, they can cook a meal and survive. And then you have some people that have never cooked in their entire life. They've never maybe cooked rice maybe once in their lifetime or something like that. So you have a team of people, volunteers, wanting to bless these people. And you have people that have never cooked, have no idea how to hold a knife, right? And you have people that are like, you know, that've done it, some maybe even worked in the kitchen. And then, so we come together and then with a certain goal and purpose. And that is to feed people, to cook a meal that one, tastes good. Two, to fill, you know, the stomachs of 100 people or however many people show up. And the third thing is to not get people sick, right? That's the, you know, so when we come together, those are the three goals. Make sure the food tastes good. You feed, you know, fill people's stomach, and you don't get anybody sick. Because if you get sick, you know, then we're running into big problems. So, but when you look at this group and you say, okay, this group of people are gonna and accomplish these three goals, you might say, no way, no way. Like half of them can't even cook. How are they gonna accomplish these things, right? Some of them are just home cooks. They cook for themselves and maybe 4 people. How can they cook for 100 people? But when we come together, we work together, right? If you've ever served in this, we all work together. We caravan, we get there. We have stations. We assign people, a team of people that's a mix of skills, you know, 2 to 4 people, different stations. Okay, you're on the vegetable station. You're on the cook station. You're on the peeling station. You're on the cleaning station. Everyone gets divvied up into the station. Some people are responsible of, you know, making the meatballs. Some people are in charge of mashing the potatoes. And it's the funniest thing seeing Ian mash potatoes. If you've never seen him mash potatoes, it's, if you know, when you mash potatoes, you're like, okay, super easy. But when you watch Ian, it looks really hard. I don't know how he can make something so easy turn so difficult, right? But anyways, he does it. You know, he and his team, they do it. Then you have teams that are cutting vegetables and onions, and you show them, okay, cut it so that it looks uniform. It never looks uniform. Some are giant, some are tiny, and you look, okay, whatever, that's fine, right? And then some people are, so everyone's working their stations, and at the end of it, we put it all together, and we put a meal together. At the end, the product is a meal. You have your entree, you have your side, you have your salad, you have everything. And at the end of the day, we put together a meal that tastes good, hopefully, you know, fills the stomach, which it definitely does. And 3, as far as I know, we've never gotten anybody sick, as far as I know. And why is this important? It's because in ministry and in what we call the church, it is very diverse. It is very mixed, and God gives gifts. Some are really good at what they do. Others are learning. But when we come together as a church and we're given the task of ministry, the ministry of the good news of Jesus Christ, some of us may have no idea how the heck am I supposed to do this. And other people have been doing it for a long time. But when we come together and we work in our stations, we work in teams, and at the end of the day, we put it all together. And we not only feed people, but we feed ourselves. At the end of our Belkin House meals, we always eat what we create. We get to enjoy the benefits of the things that we work towards. It's the same thing in church. When God gives gifts to serve others, we ourselves get to enjoy these gifts as well. We ourselves get to be blessed and to be filled and to be built up in this ministry that God so graciously gives us. You know, we grow in our community, we grow as a team, we grow as a church. And so as Colossians chapter 3, if you have your Bibles, I apologize, I don't actually have a PowerPoint today, but maybe those guys can put up Colossians chapter 3 for you guys. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. And I'm reading from the ESV. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. And so the Apostle Paul is speaking to the church in Colossae, and he says, perfect. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And verse 17. And he's saying this to the church. The Apostle Paul is saying this to the church. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And essentially, that is the mission of the church. That is the purpose of the church. And that is in everything we do, whether it's word or deed, we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do it in such a way that it exalts Christ. Can a church exist without the gospel? Absolutely. Absolutely. A church can't exist without the gospel. It simply exists as an organization. But can a church, will a church live out the purpose of a church without the gospel? Absolutely not. The church exists for the purpose of exalting Jesus Christ. The church exists for the purpose of making Jesus known. So in everything we do, the purpose is to make Jesus known, to exalt him. And so even in the diversity, God gives gifts, different gifts, for the purpose of making himself known. You know, and so why is it necessary? You know, why is it necessary for the Apostle Paul to remind the church that they're one body with many different members, gifted by God for tasks, motivated by love? You know, and then he says, you know, regard evil things with disgust, you know, hold fast to what is good. You know, why is the Apostle Paul needing to say this? It's because in chapter 1 of Romans, if you go there, Romans chapter 1, verses 28 to 32. Romans 1, 28 to 32. This is the reason why the Apostle Paul needed to remind them that they need to do these things and be unified. Because in Romans chapter 1, verse 28, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manners of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. The reason why the Apostle Paul needed to remind the church in Rome that they are one body made up of different members and that they serve a purpose, that is to exalt Christ, and that they ought to hate evil but seek after love and seek after building each other. The reason why this is the case is because the church was being infiltrated and being corrupted by this idea that, oh, it doesn't have to be about all this. But instead, you start to see that within the existence of the body of Christ, there's people who are gossiping, faithless, heartless, ruthless. They're inventors of evil. They're boastful. They're disobedient parents. They're faithless, and so on and so on. They seek to destroy, they seek to break down, they seek to hinder the ministry of the gospel. And so the reason why the Apostle Paul needs to remind the church that you ought to do this is because the church, like I said, serves the purpose of making Jesus known. But if you live as though Romans chapter 1 is speaking about, it doesn't make Jesus known, but rather it hinders the ministry of the gospel. It stops the ministry of the gospel. It stops it from growing. So there's a huge contrast of what the church ought to look like. It can look like chapter 1, or it can look like chapter 12. And so the Apostle Paul lays down these clear contrasts. The church is not supposed to look like chapter 1, but rather the church of Christ is supposed to look like chapter 12. You know, a lot of us, we serve in different capacities in the local church. You know, we use gifts that God gives us. You know, and sometimes we give and we serve with the right intentions, but maybe not actually knowing why we serve. You know, why we serve. But if we're asked, well, why do you serve? Some of us may not be able to answer that question. Some of us. Or that maybe, you know, we wrestle with this idea like, well, I serve out of guilt. I serve because maybe I've been here for a long time and it's just about time that I need to serve. But that reason is not really the right reason. You know, as the Apostle Paul, if you understand anything about church, or if you've never experienced church life, you'll realize like a family is very difficult. You'll find that there's a lot of issues that come up. You'll find that there's conflict that comes up, disagreements and so on that will come up just like a family. But then what the Apostle Paul always pushes people to do is when you're in this community, when you're in this church, he's always pushing you to get your motives right because you need to love more and you need to do things that's going to push your emotion, your body, your mind, your soul beyond what you think you could do. That's why he says in the last part of Romans chapter 12, he says, you know, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Be fervent in spirit. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. I mean, in family context, I mean, this stuff applies. Patient with my family members in hardships and difficult times, that's hard to do. But here the Apostle Paul is pushing the congregation, the church, the body of Christ to do this. Be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. You know, when the Apostle Paul continues saying that, what really stands out for me is this idea of outdoing one another in showing honor. You know, outdo one another. That when you're in this community, you ought to desire and seek after accomplishing this. That it's not about you. Right? And it just really, in the face of consumeristic Christianity today in North America, it really pushes back. When we think Christianity is only about ourselves and what I can get from it, and well, I'm not really happy here, or blah, blah, blah. You know, this pushes you back. I mean, this really pushes that way of thinking. And the Apostle Paul says, how about this? Rather than thinking about yourself, outdo the other person in showing honor to them. Make it about the other person. Try that. And that's hard to grasp. That's not what we want to hear. And especially, you know, when first century, right? The first century time when you had Jews and Gentiles where they don't hang out together. It's very segregated, very separated. When the Apostle Paul says, you know, the church is now mixed. Is made up of Jew, Gentile, free, slave, men, women, children, adults, rich, poor. No matter where you come from, this is the makeup of the church. And it says, now you guys need to outdo one another in showing honor to that person. That really cuts to the heart of every individual that belongs in the church. Because no longer it's about you or your prejudice or your assumptions or your thoughts. But now you have to see it. You need to make the other person more important. And where do we see this exemplified the best? Through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. You know, in John chapter 13, verses 12 to 17, the story of this moment in Jesus' ministry is so beautiful. It really paints this idea of outdoing one another in showing honor. This is Jesus Christ here. The Rabbi, the Lord, the Savior, the Messiah, right? God incarnate. And this is what he does in verse 12. And when he, being Jesus, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. For if I then, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." You know, it is at the time of this, it is the job of the servant to wash the master's feet. Never, ever do you see the master washing the servant's feet. The servant isn't greater than the master, and yet we see the master humbling himself to serve the servant. You know, and I've heard a few stories of housemaids in Hong Kong and stuff like that. Imagine it like this. You see a wealthy, powerful, influential Christian Hong Kong man or woman. And what that person does is they wash the laundry of his or her housemaid. Right? Imagine this picture. You're so wealthy, you're so powerful, and you have everything. You have housemaids. And you show to the housemaids that you outdo them and showing honor to them, you see this person of high esteem. They go and they do the laundry of their housemaids. That will shock you. That will rock your world. It never happens. But that's how Jesus demonstrates his ministry. That the master is humbling himself to serve the servant. If he can do this, how much more everyone who follows Christ? How much more the church? So when the Apostle Paul says, outdo and show honor in the ministry of the gospel, that means when we look at each other, whether you're rich, you're poor, you're female, male, smart, not smart, successful, not successful, struggling, well-to-do, doesn't matter. Then when we come together, Jew, Gentile, we strive to outdo one another in showing honor. You know, and I just want to sort of, I don't know if this is a little bit of a tangent, but you know, as my time with you is concluding, you know, I do notice that, you know, I've seen a lot of people serve in this church, in Burnaby Pacific Grace. And I always wonder, why do you serve? Why do you serve in Burnaby Pacific Grace? Why do you serve one another? Why do you outdo one another in showing honor? And like I said earlier, maybe some of us can't really answer this question. Maybe for some of us, the answer is, well, because of guilt, or because I've been here for a long time, I really need to do this, and blah, blah, blah. Or maybe the intention, your intention is absolutely really good. You really want to help people, and that's your intention. But we need to remember, as the Apostle Paul always reminds us, the people in his church, remind the people in the church, that our source of our abilities to serve and to bless and to you know build up, that source comes from God himself, right? Verse 3, each according to the measure of his faith that God has assigned. And in verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Our gifts are given to us by God, right? It starts there. God gives us our gifts. And he gives us our gift not to just stay there, but to serve, to teach, to speak into people's lives, to encourage, to do acts of mercy, to love, and et cetera, et cetera. All of this sourced from God himself. So for us who serve in this community, who gives, who are blessed, and who gives to this community, we need to always remember that this starts and it comes from a place of acknowledgement that it comes from God. Our ability to love our enemies comes from God. Our ability to look at someone and not judge them by their race, their ethnicity, their whatever, comes from God. Our ability to wash their feet comes from God. And that the gifts that come from God comes with a purpose. And that is for us to use it. It is not to stay with us, but for us to use it. When we use it, we bless people. And when we use it, we build people up. When we use it, Christ is made glorious. Christ is made known. So I think, I think of this analogy, and I love baseball. I love baseball or softball. Think of it like this. You know, God says, okay, here you go. I'm going to call you, and I'm going to choose you and bring you into my team. And then God says, here you go. Here's a jersey with your name on it. Like, oh, with your name and even a number, you know. Here's a jersey. Name, number, awesome. Brand new jersey. You know, Nike kind of stuff, right? And then God says, okay, now you're a part of a team, right? You belong to a team. And then God says, okay, here's a glove. Here's a ball. Here's a bat. Here's a coach. Here's a field. Here is a beautiful field. And then God says, now go and participate. Participate. I have given you everything you need. I've given you a team. I've given you everything. Now go and participate. Go and participate and seek after what is glorifying to God. Hate what is evil and do what is good. Do not embody Romans chapter 1, verse 28 to 32, but embody the spirit of Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 13. That we, though one body, are different with different gifts, but for the purpose of glorifying God. And so I want to, this is sort of a kind of impromptu, kind of like, oh, maybe, I'll say, oh, let's do it. Why not? I'm going to invite the worship team up. And typically what we do is we have a response song, right, where you reflect. Instead of reflecting, while the worship team is playing this response song, I want you guys to go around and meet the different members in the body of Christ and greet them and give them a hug and say some things that encourage them to build them up. If they need prayer, pray for them. Get to know them. Encourage one another. And when the song is done, we'll come back and we'll continue our worship through offering and so on. So this is our response song. This is our response song to the beautiful gift that is Christ Church, that He so graciously called us to be a part of. It's such a beautiful thing. So let's all get up, let's all rise, and let's love one another with the love of Christ. Thank you.
Watch for it. My life.